ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 3 ऋषभदेव्स अपीयरेंस टेक्स्ट 10 Again, this is a prose. Athayam eva varo hya arhatama yarehi bahirshi rajrishir varadushabho bhavan nija purkshena विषया आसीत् अथायम एव वरो यः अरहत्मा यरहि बर्हिषि राजेशः वरदृशोभो भवान् निज पुरक्षेण विषया आसीत् वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग अथ देन अयम दिस एव सर्टनली वरः बेनेडिक्शन He, indeed, Aratnama, O most worshipable of the worshipable. Yarhi, because Barahishi, in the sacrifice, Rajrishi, of King Nabhi, Varadarashabha, the best of the benefactors, Bhavan, your lordship, Nija Purusha, of your devotees, Ikshana Vishaya, the object of the sight, Asit, has become. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. O most worshipable of all, you are the best of all benefactors, and your appearance at this saintly King Nabhi's sacrificial arena is meant for our benediction. Because you have been seen by us, you have bestowed upon us the most valuable benediction. Please repeat. O most worshipable of all, you are the best of all benefactors, and your appearance at saintly King Nabhi's sacrificial arena is meant for our benediction. Because you have been seen by us, you have bestowed upon us the most valuable benediction. Purport. Nij Purusha Ikshana Vishaya. In Bhagavad Gita 9:29, Krishna says, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu. I envy no one, nor I am partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is in me, and I am also a friend of him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is equal to everyone. In that sense, he has no enemies and no friends. Everyone is enjoying the fruitive reactions of his own work, and the Lord, within everyone's heart, is observing and giving everyone the desired result. However, just as the devotees are always anxious to see the Supreme Lord satisfied in every way, similarly the Supreme Lord is very anxious to present himself before his devotees. Shri Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 4:8, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashasya chaturshkritam dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I advent myself millennium after millennium. Thus, Krishna's appearance is for the deliverance and satisfaction of his devotees. Actually, he does not advent himself simply to kill the demons, for that can be done by his agents. Lord Vishnu's appearance at the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Nabi was just to please the king and his assistants. Otherwise, there was no reason for his being present there. Om Gyanam Timmansa Gyananjana Shilakaya Chakshnum Tamyini Tasmai Shri Kirvi Namaha Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashacha Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna. So, first of all, thank you very much for the nice reception and hospitality I've been given by all the devotees, especially Hare Chaitanya Prabhu and everyone else. It's my visit after a long time, and the problem that I always have is my two sons. I have to follow their act. They're both PhDs and I'm not even a master, so if I disappoint you, it's my fault, not theirs. The Prabhupada in this purport, I mean, there's several things that are mentioned here, and if you read the translation again, O most worshipable of all, you are the best of all benefactors, and your appearance at saintly King Nabi's sacrificial arena is meant for our benediction. Because you have been seen by us, you have bestowed upon us the most valuable benediction. So in his purport, one of the things that Prabhupada is emphasizing is why did Lord Vishnu appear at this particular sacrifice? And the reason he's saying is that because Lord generally doesn't appear. There are so many yajnas happening. There is people do so many prayers, and actually people become atheist. We have seen that said, you know, I've done 16 rounds, I've not seen Krishna yet. That's happened. I mean, the new bhaktas come in once in a while. There are others who come in, I've prayed. Actually, happened to one of my relatives, I won't say who, and he studied and studied for this IIT exam, which is very prestigious to get into this thing, and he didn't make it. And right after that he said, God doesn't exist. I prayed to him and I didn't make it, and so overnight he just turned, said he won't even, I mean, I and his parents had trained him all these years as a child, and he started to chant and say Hare Krishna and everything else, and all of a sudden he won't even take the name, because God did not, Krishna did not give his benediction. Anyway, there's a follow-on to it. He studied on his own. Next year he went again, and he still didn't make it. But so so Prabhupada is saying is, and to go with that example, he didn't understand that the reason he didn't make it was not because of Krishna, but because of his own past karma. Right? I mean, he tried both ways. He didn't make it when he's sort of prayed to Krishna. And he didn't make it when he didn't pray to Krishna. And actually, what Prabhupada is saying is, it's not even a question of praying. It's how we pray. And And the other thing that we'll discuss is, was it, and Krishna's not obliged to fulfill our demands. And there's a reason for it. Okay. So, Prabhupada is saying that Krishna says in the Gita, I am impartial to everyone. I'm not partial to anyone. However, I am, it appears, and it is true, he is partial to his devotees. Okay. Prabhupada is saying it in 929. And Prabhupada gives the example that we are impartial to everyone. Suppose, you know, there's a president or anyone, we take a look at it, we are very impartial. Well, that this is what the rule is, this is what the law is. But you see, but the president of the country still has the authority and the power to give pardon to one he likes, right? That happens all the time, especially just before the election year, you'll see the prime minister, the president of any country, they will issue wholesale pardons. And so-and-so has been arrested. And they'll say, okay, yeah, he was a party worker. He, you know, he did a lot for the Republican Party or for whatever party, and they'll issue a pardon. So they have the authority. And so Krishna is even though he's very impartial, he's partial to his devotees. And the other reason, and the other thing that Prabhupada is talking here is, and therefore, not only he, you know, he will grant benedictions, but the reason he appears is, Prabhupada is saying, is to for the satisfaction of his devotees. He can take care of the demons, he can take care of the, you know, Rakshasas and all those and all the problems by just sending his agents. We see that behind every incarnation of Krishna, there's a confidential reason. Lord Chaitanya came, we say, to propagate the chanting of the holy name, but he also came to experience the mood of the devotees. So there's always a confidential reason. And so the reason he appeared at King Nabi's sacrifice is because King Nabi was a great devotee, not because of the mantras and so on and so forth. Now, there are a few other things that is in the translation. The Brahmins are saying, the priest, the Krishna, you are the best of all the benefactors. The best of all the benefactors. Now, what does that mean? So if I ask you, following in Maharaj's tradition from yesterday, what is your definition? What is the best benediction? So, in fact, I tell my classes, if Krishna came right now at this minute, what are you going to do? What do you do? If Krishna appeared right in front of you right now? Yeah. What would you do? What would you ask? Yeah. So what is that? So assume you are not a devotee. I mean, you have not read the Bhagavatam or gone to classes. What would you have done? I mean, when we ask these, you know, in our ordinary classes with the Americans and all that, we have no idea. And then we ask for you know, things that, you know, it's like we all have heard of the story, right? There was this old woman, right? She used to make a living by going to the forest every day, cutting up, chopping up some wood, or finding branches and all twigs, and tying in a bundle, taking it to the village and selling it and make a living. So she had been doing it for years. She was getting older, and one day she went. She had a little bit of flu and all that, so very weak. On the way back, she dropped the load of the wood and couldn't pick it up. And says, "Krishna, you know, help me. You know, how am I going to get my meals today? You know, help me pull the load up." So Krishna came. That's true if you genuinely, sincerely call upon Krishna. Rupa says that. I mean, we do 16 rounds, 32 rounds all these years. Where is Krishna? But that's one sincerity, that devotion, takes time. So she said very sincerely. And Krishna came. And what did she ask? "Can you help me put the load back on my shoulder?" Now, was it the right thing? What should have asked? "Get me out of here, so I don't have to take all these loads." So we are not even trained. We don't even know what to ask Krishna. If he came right now, at least myself, even if he came right now, I'll be just tongue-tied. You know, it's like if the king of Belgium just walked in, I'm not sure what all we'll do here. Besides, make way, so on and so forth. I'm sure he knows. Give us a permit for something. I don't know what it is. So the thing is, however, Krishna, on the other hand, Krishna knows what is good for us. So the everyone gives benedictions. Okay, I ask people, what is the best country to live in? What's the best country? You're from France, and I don't know, Ireland, right? Is that the best country to live? No, but generally we'll say, yeah, it's the best country, because I get the food is not as good here. I don't get the potatoes, or I don't get the bread like that, or the climate, or this or that. So we have own reasons what is really best. Actually, what is the? I also ask people, what is the best temple? Which is the best temple? What would you say? This is it. Why is this temple good? What is the best? And what makes the temple best or good? The prasadam? The living facilities? The devotees and the deities. When the temple, we build this temple in Boise, and we think it's the best temple. The marble floors and everything else, right? And it went on and on, and the beauty really didn't come out till the first time when after everything was finished, till the curtains opened and the deities came out. Everyone had tears in their eyes. The difference was that the deities. So what makes... Prabhupada says that there he is. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. That's what makes is the deities and devotees. In fact, I remember Hanumat Prakash Swami was there for our opening of the temple. And he'd been there for 2-3 days, and we were just, running around and sort of very puffed up, this and that. And then he got me, I was probably the most puffed up, so he caught me in the corner. He said, "Anantarup, this is all bricks without the Brahmins. So what he's saying is be a Brahmin and serve the devotees, otherwise it's all bricks." And that's what Bhakti Sant Maharaj used to say, that, right? The temples are there so we can distribute more books, so we can preach a lot more. Otherwise, it's all just, stone and wood. So we do not know what is best for us, and that is the difference. I was thinking about it between the giving or not giving, say, of Lord Vishnu versus Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is called Ashutosh. He's very easily pleased. And he'll give anything. Right? Lord Vishnu, he's also Ashutosh, but he's the real Ashutosh. Lord Shiva, if a drunkard comes to the temple and asks for a bottle, Lord Shiva will give that. Lord Vishnu probably will not. Why? Because that is not good for the person. And that's why we take a look at it, at the giving of Lord Vishnu. In fact, initially when I joined the movement, there were a lot of friends of mine said, "Oh, you got stuck into the Krishna side. It's very difficult. Bhakti is very difficult." And see, all the Krishna bhaktas there, they're poor Brahmins, Sudhava Brahman, you know, all those, you know. Initially, I didn't have an answer, but really, Krishna, he gives us the best based on what is best for our life, for our devotional life. And actually, Radhika Raman was giving an example. We were on something different, but the example applies. This last Sunday, actually. Somebody's on the railroad tracks, right? You've seen that in the movies, right? There's railroad tracks, train tracks, and a woman has been tied up on the railroad tracks by someone, right? You've seen that in movies. There used to be movies that somebody captured a woman and she was not obeying this and that, so the person tied him up and put him right on the tracks. And she's shouting, "Help me, help me!" Right? And since I know your name here, Bhakta Adam goes there. "Oh, you're in trouble, right? Let's see. It's so hot here. Let me put an umbrella on top of it, right?" So, is that a good help? I mean, you made him comfortable, right? And then she says, "I don't need that." And then he goes away. And she's still shouting, "Help me, help me." And somebody says, "Oh, yeah, yeah. Your neck is hurting, isn't it? Let me bring a pillow." You know, she's laying on the track, right? So somebody brings a pillow. Is that help? Is that a good benediction? No. No. What is the real help? Somebody who could just pull her off the tracks, right? So most of the help that we get in material, that's what I'm saying, we look at, "Oh, this is the best country, I get the best health care, or I get the food stamps, or social security, so on and so forth." What is the best benediction? What is the best health? The best is that is good for our devotional life. And so, what can we ask? In fact, over here, Dhruv Maharaj. And it doesn't come right away. And that's why in Bhagavatam we have so many stories. And the story of Dhruv Maharaj is very applicable over here. He went, like most of us, he went to ask for a kingdom. Okay. And let me read a few things over here. For one thing, and so when Lord Vishnu appeared, what happened to Dhruv Maharaj? It says over here, he got very agitated, didn't know what to do. The Prabhupada actually uses this word. When Dhruv Maharaj saw his Lord just in front of him, he was greatly agitated. And all he could do was fall down and give his obeisances. Okay, he could not say any prayers, couldn't do anything. And then you take a look at the kindness of Lord Vishnu. What does he do? He touches him, right? And at once, Dhruva Maharaj gets all the intelligence to say the right things. And he realizes that his folly, his, you can say, stupidity, whatever words we want to use, that he was asking for pieces of glass. That's what we said yesterday. Okay. Right. And then we see the mercy, the kindness, and the giving of Lord Vishnu. Once having gotten rid of Dhruva Maharaj's all these material desires, become a devotee. Then you take a look at the best of the benedictions, the best of the benefactors. He gave him the best kingdom. He gave him actually his own kingdom, spiritual planet. But first he trained him, got all the material desires out so that he won't be attached to it. And then, in fact, then Dhruva Maharaj says, no, I don't want to do anything. He says, no, I gave you this and you better rule. You better. And we see that in so many cases. In case of Bali Maharaj, when you take a look at the benediction in case of Sudama, first Sudama just became so poor he didn't even have, things to eat or even give, rice to Krishna. His wife had to borrow it. And once we take a look at in Srila Prabhupada's, he goes to America. And Prabhupada, I think, you see from his Leela, he still thought that he could live off, selling this trunk of books and doing something. And when did Krishna really started showing his opulence to Srila Prabhupada? When did things really start to happen? Can anyone guess? After Srila Prabhupada was robbed of everything, right? In New York, if you remember. Somebody comes in, takes off everything. And Prabhupada even writes there, if you read the details, that he said he thought he was still in control and he could do all these things. And once everything was taken away from him, even that slightest little thing, then what happens? Everything starts to open up. You see in the Leelamrit, that is like a sort of a inflection point. Everything changes. The word goes out, the Swami has been robbed. And everyone comes in. Somebody's bringing this, somebody's bringing, you go into my apartment, you do this, you do this. And things start to happen. And then there's no stopping. Prabhupada said that I still had this ego or desire that I can do it myself. And once that even that little shred, a little bit, Prabhupada is Prabhupada, but that's just an example that when that was gone, then you see Krishna gave him the whole world. All the 108 temples, thousands of devotees. Prabhupada used to say to his godbrothers, purposely, he used to go Vrindavan, I got this letter today. Today my collection was, in those days, 1 lakh rupees, big amount. I have 40 vans with all the books going all over the country. He used to purposely say this. And he was not proud because he used every little bit for Krishna. You take a look at in the case of Vamandev's appearance in Bali Maharaj. He made Bali Maharaj so humble, put him down into the lower planets, with his foot. And once he did that and saw Bali Maharaj's sincerity and everything else, he said, no, I'm going to give you a kingdom that is equal or better than Indra, and I'm going to be the guard so Indra doesn't come and take it. And therefore, that's why Lord Vishnu's giving is the best of the benefactors. We all supposedly benefactors. Somebody comes in, we exchange gifts, this and that. But in our giving, in most ordinary giving, there's a little bit of a motive. So devotee has to, like he was saying, unmotivated. But Krishna then also gives the really unmotivated. Krishna didn't care that, oh, I've given my own kingdom to Dhruva Maharaj, or I'm guard of Bali Maharaj. He could fire me, right? Once you become a guard, I mean, Bali Maharaj is, actually he's working for Krishna. So Krishna does not hesitate. In fact, he says, you know, I've not given him enough. In the story of Sudama, it is said, right, that as soon as Krishna started eating the rice, that chipped rice that his wife had sent, he had he took the first handful, right? And then he took the second handful, and the third handful, it said Rukmini stopped him. Because Rukmini is worried, because the more he gives, the more he takes, the more he will be indebted, and he'll give everything away, then where am I going to eat from? So it says, Rukmini said, no, don't do that, because then you're giving away everything and I won't have anything left for me and for my children. You know, we're going to starve. So Krishna becomes very indebted with our devotional service. So that's why, and Prabhupada said that we should not, the only thing that we should ask Krishna, there's so many things in this benediction or asking thing. Krishna is like the mother who knows why the child is crying. It's all the child has to do is cry. Right? All you mothers, I'm sure you know, right? They know when the child is crying, is it because of a wet diaper? Or is it because of milk? Or because he's sleepy, or he's just being naughty? Right? It's the same cry. I'm sure us men don't know that much. In fact, it happened to me once I came back from my wife, and Gopal was really crying. I come in and, you know, and I said, why don't you take him? And he's so upset. Now, on that time, I said, well, you also leave him alone, right? But she knows the difference. Eh? Because I was just following her. I mean, if she didn't pick up, so why should I pick up? You know, but in just a few minutes, she kind of could tell that, you know, it's a very genuine cry. And sometimes, you know, the mothers will let the child cry. And the father's upset. Why don't you take care of him? And no, he's just... Okay? So we don't really have to ask Krishna. He knows what is best for us. This is happening right now in our Boise. We have one of the bhaktas. Very nice. He came, when he came in 2 years ago into the movement, he was working for actually HP, where I used to work. Had a real big job and everything else. As soon as he comes in, about 3 months later, guess what happens? He's fired. And from that day, it's like every month or so, he'll come out and he just lets out on me. You know, Krishna's taken away my job. And when his job ended, and then his house went away. He had to declare bankruptcy, went into foreclosure. So he moved into a smaller apartment next to the temple. But he had the sixth sense, and Krishna was doing that. He was living 10 miles away in this big palatial house. Okay? And he's saying, you know, and then he's looking at, you know, all of these other Indians, you know, they got real good jobs and everything else. He says, why is Krishna doing to me? And then he gets into this, you know, how all this outsourcing should be stopped, and all this, you know, bringing of the foreigners should be stopped, and he goes on and on and on. And I said, no. See, behind the scenes, Krishna was trying to clean him up. Because his wife was telling me all the things that he was not telling. Because, I mean, he had a good job. He was making almost close to $100,000 a year. And when his job went away, he didn't even have savings to even support for 2 months. What was he doing with the money? Drinking. He had this, you know, $100,000 truck. He had motorcycles. Krishna was gradually cleaning him up. And I used to tell him, I said, no, wait a minute. And he said, yeah, I know what Krishna is doing. But this is so nice of you to say this because you have the money and I don't. But I said, unlike others, I mean, there's such a big, bad recession. I'm sure it's over here too, but, you know, I said, despite all this, you're still getting two meals? Yeah, I mean, your wife is still working, so he's making sure that you still have health insurance, you still have prasadam. But Krishna is interested, because on this, he said, you know, really after all these 40 years, I think this is the place to be, and I can see I'm improving, and so on and so forth. And so there are two sides. On one side, it's not resolved. On the other side, from an outsider, all the devotees can see that Krishna is really almost in a very small way, almost like cleaning up him up of all. And I told him, I said, and he's still got a few more things left. When he gets up in the morning, he still takes a cup of coffee. So I said, well, you know, because the other thing he said, well, my guru is not initiating me. So I'm doing 16 rounds. What is this thing about just one cup of coffee? I said, well, the rules are rules. If that is true, why just leave it? But he said, no. He's made it right now. He's struggling. So he makes a point. He said, what's the big deal in this one cup of coffee? He said, yeah, I'm doing 16 rounds, this and that. And I said, no, but this. So he's still got that little bit of thing left. And Krishna is, and I told him, I said, I've seen enough. The day you're perfect, Krishna will give you everything that you won't know what to do with it. So Prabhupada says, just to finish it off, is that Krishna knows what we want. But if we have to ask, there's only one thing we should ask, and that is, yeah, but there's another answer I'm looking for. Is all those things come from training, is to provide me the shelter of a pure devotee that can train me how to serve you. So the only benediction that we should ask, and that is the best of benedictions, is give me the shelter of pure devotee. Get me a spiritual master. I mean, take a look at that's what Prabhupada says. He said, I was a fool. The only credit that I can take in all this thing is that I tried to serve to the fullest capacity the instruction of my spiritual master. So, in the case of King Nabi, he wanted a son like Vishnu. And later on you'll see three, four shlokas from there. Lord Vishnu says, you've asked for a son like me and I cannot find a son like me, so I'll come. Again, he's giving himself away. Because once he becomes a son, King Nabi can just slap him left and right and, you know, do all those things, right? So Krishna is not hesitant in giving. He wants to make sure that when he gives something, it is properly utilized. And we are capable of taking it, right? Prabhupada said that, right? When Krishna gives, we don't have enough hands to take it. And when Krishna takes it away, we don't have enough hands to stop him. Don't take it, right? So, our request to him every day, to Gopinath, is just give me the benediction that I can serve my guru to the best of my ability. Hare Krishna. Any questions? We have like 2 minutes or 3 minutes. Comments? Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.